This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Well, hello, everyone. We're so glad you're with us today because I have three fabulous animal communicators with me, and they are going to talk to us about communicating with animals who've passed on. And a lot of people, I know a lot of my listeners believe this already or excited about this, and some listeners are just not quite sure, and they want to hear some stories about how do these wonderful animal communicators know that this is true. They have no longer any doubt. They don't wonder if it's really true. And I have with me Karen Dendy-Smith, Julie Hurt, and Meredith Tullison, and they are the founders and directors of a wonderful group called the Animal Communication Collective. And they have had various trainings with various people. It would take too long to give the long introductions, but I just want to say that they're pre-approved. They're fabulous. And I know you're going to enjoy this information. So I just wanted to ask each of you to tell us a story, maybe, that what made you really know that it is possible to communicate with animals who are no longer in their physical bodies. So Karen, would you like to start us out?
Sure. Hi, Jeannie. And thank you for having us. We're so excited to be here today.
Yeah.
And we love your podcast, by the way.
Aw, thank you.
So from my perspective, animals and spirit. I have to say that one of my early experiences with animals and spirit was through dreams. Mm-hmm. And it was early in 2000. So goodness, that's got to be like 24 years ago now.
Yeah.
My dear cat from college, Dusty, had passed away.
Mm.
And I was so distraught about her passing because at that time, we didn't have the resources we have now and the internet and all the information around like, what is the right diet and what is the right way to take care of an animal. And so I really had her at a period of time where we didn't know all of that. So when she passed away, I felt a lot of guilt. And I know that a lot of people do feel that, you know, when their animals pass away. It's a lot of what we work with people and their animals and spirit now.
Yeah.
And I already did believe in reincarnation. I believed in that since I was a really little kid. I don't know why, but I always did. And with her passing, I would just kind of meditate and kind of ask the universe, please let her come back and give me a do-over. Please do. I needed a do-over. We weren't finished. Her lesson for me in the way that she passed and how it kind of shook my world was upsetting. And so it took about 3 years. And I think it took that long because of what I was going through in my life. And one night I had this really crazy dream. Actually, I had the dream for a bunch of nights in a row. Two or three nights in a row, where she was actually looking for me. And she was kind of in this battle scenario. And I was trying to get to her across what seemed like a crazy battle. And we were on two sides of this battle. And it was like me trying to get to her and her trying to get to me. And I woke up after a few nights of this. And I said to my then fiance, not yet husband, do you like cats? Because I'm having this dream and I feel like we're going to get a stray cat is going to come to us. So if a cat shows up, can we keep it? And he said, sure, I like cats, which I didn't know back then.
Okay.
I had a feeling that she was trying to get back to me. So 3 weeks later, my brother calls me from Florida. He has found a three-week-old kitten from the day I was having those dreams in the middle of a divided highway, in the middle of Florida, in the middle of the night with all the cars rushing by, and he was black.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I knew it was one of those weird electrical staticky things where you just know something has happened that's way beyond our knowledge in the 3D. Mm-hmm. And I said, ship him up to me. I know who he is.
Uh-huh.
And we brought him up to me. I opened the crate. He jumped out of the crate, attached himself to my chest. And I knew it was my cat Dusty come back.
Wow.
To kind of continue the journey of lessons with me, which he did for another 15 years, which is why I'm actually an animal communicator. So the whole journey, those dreams were so vivid to me. That's when I thought, okay, animals are reaching out from spirit, not just humans. And that was a big aha moment for me back then.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful story. Beautiful story. I know some people wonder, you know, if their animals will come back in this lifetime. And some animals do choose to do that. A lot of animals don't because they want to meet you elsewhere or whatever. They have other things to do. But it's really, I love those stories when it's like when someone knows this is my cat or dog or come back to me. Wow, it's beautiful. All right. Well, Julie, would you share a story with us?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you so much for having us too, Jeannie. Yeah. This is really fun. Thank you. So my story is about the first dog I ever had. Her name was Daffy. Unfortunately, the summer before I was to leave for college, she was hit by a car while I wasn't home and whatnot. And the grief that I felt at her passing was just so immense. And actually, it's never really left me as I think about it. Mm-hmm. And I just knew, I just knew in that moment, and I knew going forward throughout my college years that she was never really gone. Because I could feel her around me. Every time I would see a picture, yes, of course, there was grief, but I just felt like there had to be something more. And I know that goes back to my childhood sitting in the front lawn and like talking to the dandelions and talking to all the bugs and feeling like I had a connection and an ability to talk with them and be connected with them. And that there was more there than just something, you know, that you could squish or you could, you know, ignore or whatnot. I just always knew. So then fast forward after Daffy passed away, my maternal grandmother passed from colon cancer. And it was around the time when Oprah was having a lot of people on her Live Your Best Life series. So she was having Rosemary Altea on, she was having Carolyn Mace on, she was having John Edwards on and talking about what all was possible, that there is so much more to us. And with my grandmother's passing, my grandfather was having experiences where she was visiting him. My father was having experiences as well. And then I was dreaming about her. And one of those dreams, as well as something, if I remember correctly, something that my dad actually had experienced, my dog Daffy was with her and she was taking care of Daffy. And so I just, to some degree, I always knew that things were possible, but when grandma passed, and she's very prevalent in my work today, my grandmother, I have a picture of her from 1932 on my deck, on my bookshelf right there. But I knew that when I found out that she was taking care of Daffy, I knew that everything that I had felt in like my heart center was absolutely true. And then I fast forward again and another dog, I had two dogs pass within 6 months of each other. And at that point I had someone actually say, you really need to study to be an animal communicator in an effort to help me with grief. And then the messages that I continually get from them support, like just a minute ago, my wind chimes ring just as we were getting started. And that's my girl, India, who's saying, hey, have fun. And just gives me these signs continually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I've got a couple different experiences that all kind of melded together there.
That's beautiful. Yeah. If we have time, I want to hear about your guys' helper animals that help you in your animal communication. Meredith, would you like to share a story?
Absolutely. So as you were asking this question, I thought, gosh, I have so many animals in spirit and I have so many experiences with many of them, but I was reminded of a story I haven't thought about in a while.
So
many of us who do intuitive work knew as small children that we had something going on, but obviously didn't have the tools to understand it. So I was raised by Siamese cats. I joke when I say that. Mowgli was raised by wolves. I was raised by Siamese cats. Before I was even born, my parents, engaged or newly married, found a Siamese cat on the side of a rural highway and took her home to their apartment where they weren't allowed to have animals and hid her. And she truly was my parents' first child. I remember distinctly, her name was Miss Muffet. We called her Muffet. She was beautiful. And we have pictures of us putting her in, you know, the dishwasher and in pots and pans. She raised three toddlers. She in 5 years, she really did. But I remember I was walking home from school. I went to elementary school, about three blocks from where I lived. And we were in a small town in Mississippi. It was no problem to walk back and forth. And someone would always come and meet me at the back gate to my parents' home, to welcome, you know, to know that I had come home. And I remember one day leaving school, skipping down the road and thinking, oh, I suddenly feel really sad. And I didn't know why. Our family friend met me at the back gate and put his arm around me and said, Muffet has gone. I don't remember how he said it. I think he said she's gone to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling, oh, well, I'm so sad. But she's okay. I knew immediately she was okay. Well, this was the day of my 7th birthday party. And my mother had literally taken to the bed. She was grieving so hard for this animal. We had her 14, 15 years. And my mother was in absolute grief. And there was a whole lesson in that around understanding the grief, supporting the grief, but also trying to encourage everyone to say, but it's okay. She's fine. So dreams were a very powerful thing for me, even as a small child, while I didn't recognize what was happening. And I realized Muffet was coming to me in dreams. I used to have night terrors about natural disasters and fires and abandonment and no idea where all those things came from. But I would wake up from these dreams and I would feel the purring and the whiskers against my face. I truly believe that was Muffet coming in to comfort me. She was like a sibling, you know. I grew up with her for the first seven years of my life. She was a sibling to me. Beautiful. And in retrospect, she taught me a lot about the love of an animal, the grieving that happens when an animal passes, and how we can still be connected to them when they're in spirit and we're in body.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. I mean, our culture doesn't really quite understand the depth of grief when one loses an animal that's shared your life. You know, I mean, if you lose a parent or a sibling or something, people understand you need to take off work, but you lose an animal and it's there isn't an understanding that can be as profound as losing a family member. So, yeah, and I think but for all of you having this experience of being able to have a connection beyond death or through death or within death or however we look at that process. You know, I know sometimes for cats, they look at death as just going through a doorway. You know, they can be joyful. I mean, of course, they don't want to leave us, but they can understand that there's more and that it doesn't end connection. And we as humans have to catch up to what they understand. That's beautiful. So I want to ask you, I know in your training with animal communication, sometimes you work with animal helpers who help you in sessions that you're doing with clients. And for some of you, that might be an animal. I know for Karen, that's her cat that's still with her. And for others, it's an animal that's passed. And can each of you maybe tell a story of how an animal helped you in a session and who that animal is? Or tell us, Karen, would you start us out with that?
My helper animal, Princess Dia, as you can see, if you can watch on YouTube or Zoom, there she is sitting. She came to help, right? Here we are. She came to help. So she actually sits here between my knees every day almost to help raise the vibration of my connection with animals. And I actually can invite her into a session with me when I'm having a hard time connecting with an animal or somebody's really emotionally distraught, and she helps like calm the energy around us and amplify. So she's quite an amplifier for me when she's feels like I need it and we need to get into that zone together. So in my heart, when I call on her, I actually feel her energy kind of surround me and come up on my left-hand side, interestingly. And I can actually see energetically in my head that she's putting kind of a light connection between me and the animal I'm talking to, especially if it's an animal in spirit. It's really fascinating to watch her help with that.
Wow.
But I do have to say, I have another helper animal that I did not know I had initially. And this came because I also do medical intuition, energy, medicine work with animals. And if an animal's not feeling well, they'll kind of point me to the direction in their body where I can share information for somebody to bring to a veterinarian or an acupuncturist or an herbalist for their animal. And at one point I was working with an animal who was having a real problem in the middle of his body. And I couldn't quite get into where it was, but I knew it was in the middle there. And all of a sudden I had completely forgotten about him. I had this mouse when I was little. I mean, I'm talking like 5, 6 years old, and his name was Jimmy. Aww. I had one Jimmy Mouse in between 6 hamsters all named Dennis and one Denise. And Jimmy Mouse showed up and actually said, "Let me go inside and I'll show you, because I'm small and I can show you to go, I can show you how to go inside." And he actually brought me inside of the intestines, like into the air, into an area that was near another organ, so I could describe that area to the person. Mm-hmm. And he just showed up out of the blue without me even realizing it. And so now when I'm in a medical intuition session, sometimes I'll call in Jimmy Mouse to kind of help me see the details.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm going to ask you if you want to ask your beautiful kitty if she has anything she wants to add to this conversation. I'm going to let Julie tell her story and then we'll come back to you. So, Julie, do you have an animal helper? Or tell us who it is and how they work with you.
I do. And mine is embodied too. Mine is my dog, Lucas, who is sleeping at my feet right now. He got up to bark, which he rarely, rarely does during when I'm in a conversation or when I'm in a session. He's got a dog bed under there. He curls up and lays right on top of my feet. Sometimes it really depends. That's one of the ways he uses to tell me what we need to focus on, or like right now I need to stay grounded. So he's laying over my feet. If he's off to the side, we're good to go. And actually the three of us, Karen Meredith and I, we actually were on the Two Crazy Cat Ladies podcast on their, they were doing a celebration for a kitten that they had found a year ago. And just as we started to do the reading and as my contribution began, Lucas started digging at the bed. And he doesn't do that unless he's saying, "We're going to go deeper. We're going to go deeper." And so I let Jay and Adrian know, like, because they could hear it. And they're like, "What's that noise?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, that's Lucas digging. We're about to go deeper." And the three of us, we all had this really amazing conversation with their cat, Annie. But that's how Lucas, he'll give me signals based on what he's doing, or if I need to do something for myself, or if I need to be mindful of what someone is about to go through, if you will, through the animal communication session. Mm-hmm. So that's one way that he helps me. Yeah, that's my wonderful buddy, Lucas. Thank you, Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Lucas has something he wants to add, you can let us know after Meredith tells her story. Yeah, it's wonderful in the human animal connection. We say that animals are communicating all the time. It's just whether or not we're listening, you know, so mm-hmm. we have to, you know, you have to, like Julie, you said, you notice when he's digging or when he's at your feet or when he's at your side, that it's not just nothing. It means something. That is a communication. And so your willingness to receive that makes all the difference. And of course, just like in any other conversation, if you stop listening, the other person will stop talking. So animals will give up if we don't recognize that they're connecting with us. Great. Mm-hmm. So Meredith, tell us about your helper animal.
I actually have multiple helper animals, depending on the situation. When we first started, when we first started being asked about our helper animal, the most prominent one that came through was my big buddy, my old dog Vader, who he's been gone about 8 years or so. He was a huge dog. He was a lab German Shepherd mix. We found him on the side of the road. He looked like a bear cub. Never had a dog before. As I said, I was raised by cats and I'd always had cats. He was the first dog that I ever had in my home as an adult. Mm. And he topped out at about 125 pounds. He was a huge boy.
Yeah.
But he was a gentle giant. Mm. He was the most delicate. He knew if there was a child or a baby or an elderly person, he was so completely gentle and aware. The concept of proprioception really applies to Vader. You know how sometimes you have a Great Dane that you're like, "You're an enormous dog," but they really understand their size. Mm-hmm. Vader understood his size, and he was solid black. Mm. So he was a very intimidating dog with an enormous bark. Vader came through to me to show me stability and quiet strength.
Mm.
He was a very grounding dog. I had no idea what an easy dog he was until I had more challenging dogs down the line.
Yeah.
So when I first started working with a helper animal, Vader was the one that came through kind of to keep me, I believe, from flying off the handle. Mm-hmm. I can go in a lot of different directions. And Vader was like slow, quiet energy, mm-hmm. deep voice, quiet talking.
Wow.
But he would step up in a moment of crisis and take care of a situation. He felt very protective of me. Mm-hmm. As we began working more, my kitty cat Boris passed. Boris comes in as a helper animal for me when there's a message of resilience or persistence. Or Boris, I'll tell you the story someday. Karen and Julie have heard it. Boris used up every one of his 9 lives before he actually left this world. Mm. So he teaches me about persistence and resilience.
Wonderful.
But my everyday is the big guy Barnabas lying at my feet, who's moving my backdrop now, digging Julie in the rug.
Might have something he wants to add to this conversation.
Yeah. So Barnabas steps in when there's a question of a new experience, new adventures, opening yourself up to new possibilities. Mm. So it's interesting. I have several helper animals depending on the situation that I'm needing to work with. They all show up together, it's time to sit down and shut up and listen.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short little break. This is a fascinating conversation. When we come back, I want to hear from each of your animals what they want to add to this conversation that we've been having. So don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection Podcast. We're so happy that you're with us today and that I have 3 very delightful animal communicators that are telling their stories about working with animals in spirit and about their helper animals that help them when they're in readings. And we just wanted to invite each of their animals to say something, and they might have something to add to this wonderful conversation that we're having, and see what their point of view is. So Karen, would you please remind us who your kitty is again, kitty's name, and what kitty would like to say.
So my kitty is Dia, D-I-A, and I do call her Princess Dia, but her real name is Dia. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting here with her. She's purring up a storm, mm-hmm. and her face was resting on my arm, and I asked her, what do you need me to know right now? Why are you here right now supporting us? And she said she really loves basking in us enjoying the joy of our connection. For her, she's a really great barometer for me as to when I'm in that place and space of being really kind of in my joy and being grounded. And so she also reminds me, and reminded me now, it was more of a download, like a knowing from her, that what she's mm-hmm. telling me is to continue to remember to move from a place of peace in order for me to keep my connection expanded.
Wow.
So
wonderful. Yeah. Wise Dia.
Yes, she is.
wise Dia. That's lovely. And Julie, do you have a animal that tell us the name of the animal and what they'd like to say to this conversation?
Sure. So mine is my dog Lucas with a K, because he's mm-hmm. just so unique and special. So we call him Lucas with a K. When I asked him, what do we all need to know for the greatest and highest good? What do your listeners need to know for the greatest and highest good? And it's interesting because it's going to tag team on to what Karen was saying. And it, for him, he was saying, just have fun. Oh. Mr. Lucas is always about having fun. And so he was like, just have fun. And then he said, we can all do this. We're all capable of communicating with our animals, of tapping into our intuition. So he's like, we can all do this. Just trust us. Trust us and trust yourself, which the latter part has been just an ongoing message for me that he's been helping me with through a lot of different things. He broke my leg. That's another story. But this whole trust yourself thing. And then he suggested, he's like, can I give a little bit of an exercise?
Sure. Yes,
why would I say no, right?
Right.
So he said, when you take us for a walk, if we're talking dogs or even cats, if you're taking us for a walk, walk with us. Don't walk us or let us walk you. Walk with us. Take the headphones out, put the cell phone down, and watch mm-hmm. where we go, because we're showing you some really cool things if you would allow us to do so. Trust us, because there's a lot of really cool stuff out there y'all are missing, is what he's saying.
Oh, Lucas, you are something. That is so beautiful, the notion of walking with us, whether it's in the house walking with us with the kitties or outside with the dogs.
that is what the human animal connection is all about, is getting away from the model of owners and pets and rather viewing it as partnership with animals. So thank you, Lucas. That was lovely. And Meredith, you have a animal that would like to say something to add to this conversation. So we don't want to leave the animals out when we're talking about animal communication, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us, Meredith.
So my dog Barnabas is lying right behind me, and Barnabas shares messages with me pretty consistently. The two most consistent, he's very, at the base, he's a pretty anxious dog, but he shows me to chill out. I can't tell you how many pictures I have on my phone when I walk in a room and find him flat on his back with all fours up in the air, on the sofa, in the middle of my bed, in the floor. It's an openness and a vulnerability that he exposes. That's a reminder to me. He also loves to get behind, he's behind my backdrop here. He's scratching, he's a little fidgety, and then he starts trying to knock things down. He is frequently showing me, move this barrier out of the way, show your true self, and release some of this anxious, fidgety energy. Release it. Open yourself up to new opportunities. And it's a message that he shows me in a lot of different ways pretty much every day.
Wow. Beautiful. Well, it's so wonderful. You know, animal communication is not just about us telling them things or getting them to change behavior. They really have something to say to us. Do you know what I mean? And that if you didn't have a reason to open yourself to animal communication, here's another one, because they really have something to offer. They have tremendous insight and understanding and non-judgment, but deep insight as to some of the issues that we're working with in these lifetimes. And it seems that some of them may have come in to help us with particular cycles of growth. And yeah, well, that's really lovely. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, so I want to ask each of you, what is one thing that really helped you as an animal communicator, like took you from, say, where you started maybe as a child with a kind of, you know, automatic knowingness to the level where you're all professionals, you're all doing this for a living, and, you know, people count on you to really help them through the difficult patches that they may be going through. What is the one thing that really got you kind of, okay, I'm at a new level with this? I have a level of clarity. I have a level of trust. I have a level of peace and groundedness. So Karen, what's your one thing? I know it's not one thing, but just for the sake of conversation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am going to just say, besides the fact that all three of us went to the same animal communication school, which was a very rigorous training, actually, with an amazing community. It's the Danielle McKinnon School. We all went to that school. That is a big, big thing that helped me. But besides that, the one thing I will share that really helped me open up my intuition again, that I had closed after childhood, was a form of meditation called Pongu Shengong. And I learned that back in 2000 when I wasn't feeling well. It actually helped me with a lot of health issues first. But it also worked on my nervous system. And over time, it opened back up my intuition. And the first thing that happened actually was I started hearing from people who were in spirit first. And then I started recognizing that the animals were showing up when I was doing my meditation practice, teaching someone else or sending energy to them. The animals were starting to show up. And I started realizing I was picking up the animals' feelings and emotions. And so that was a big shift for me, but because the more I calmed and cultivated calmer, healing life force, the more I was in a presence space, which allowed me to, my intuition to get more open again and connect back in with the animals. So I'd say that besides the school, that was probably the biggest thing that helped me.
Great, great.
And it still does today.
Yeah. And Julie, what about for you?
For me, you know, in addition to just trusting that this was really happening, there's also a form, for me, it was surrendering to it. I am not in control, right? These readings are not about me. The sessions are never about me. They're about the human that's hired me, if you will, and the animal as well, that's also to some degree hired me, and allowing the, and just surrendering into that conversation, surrendering into this larger force that's at play here. and how can I best serve, and just allowing it to be, you know, again, I'm not in control. And I know when I first started out training, it was like, oh my gosh, I have to get this right. Oh my gosh, everything has to make sense. And that's not always how it works. And there's always a reason why. So surrendering to this larger, whatever this is, whatever you want to call it, and stepping into it and kind of floating along with it, if you will, and seeing it where it takes you, has been, I'll just say, mind-blowing to me first, you know, on a lot of different levels. You know, I came from an advertising background where it's like I had to have data and proof points and the campaign worked and all this type of stuff. And now it's like, here I am, and this is what's going to happen, and we'll see where we go from there, and just allowing it. So yeah, surrendering.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Meredith.
I'm going to say all the things that Karen and Julie said. You know, realizing that I always had and shut down for a long time and then reignited whatever my intuitive feelings and abilities were. Going through the schooling that we went through, meeting these ladies among many, many others, the sense of community is really what drove me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's natural. We say we shouldn't have to feel like we have to have affirmation, but it's natural to want that, right? Mm-hmm. Finally finding a group of people who all had such similar experiences that I had, and who were all validating that they were real, mm-hmm. made me open myself up even more to the possibility of fully accepting this and bringing it in as a part of my life, and not really caring if I didn't have every data point or every proof point. And mm-hmm. then the more, you know, the more I work with people, the more I work with clients, the more I work with animals, the validation and affirmation that comes from those great experiences has helped me continue to accept myself and trust myself that I'm doing good work. I've always mm-hmm. said all I ever wanted to do was change the world. Uh-huh. And that's a huge project, right?
Yes, it is.
But helping one dog at a time, one human at a time, one person at a time, staying on this very micro level of interactivity and community, and the community that we've built through the work that we're doing and are continuing to build, and the good that we can bring into the world. That's really my impetus behind it.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, it's been so delightful to talk to the three of us. Before I let you go, Karen, would you tell people how they can get in touch with you and follow up with you guys?
Well, you can definitely find us just by typing in our names in Google, because all of our websites are our names. So KarenDendySmith.com, Julie Hearitt, Meredith Tolson. If you type those names, then you will find our individual websites. The other way that you can find us is through our collective, the Animal Communication Collective, which is our fundraising group where we volunteer. 100% of our time goes for free. We volunteer and run fundraising events for rescues and shelters and 501c3 animal nonprofits. And we're going to be excitingly doing one for you, right, Jeannie?
I know. I'm so excited. We're going to be able to have people be on and get readings from these wonderful people that you've been listening to. That will be July 10th, I believe that is. So mm-hmm. I think we have so much to talk about. We're just going to have to do this again before, because there's just so much good stuff. We just scratched the surface. But yeah, so we'll be doing a fun fundraiser. We'll be announcing more news about that as we get closer. Well, I want to thank you all so much. This has been a delightful afternoon, and I hope that our listeners are inspired by what they've heard today.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Okay. Thanks for having us. It's been wonderful.
Aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overley, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com. Or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.